listening to Viral Podcasting, the place to go to learn how to generate a six-figure income or more from your podcast. To get the latest tips and information, go to viralpodcasting.com.
Welcome, and you are listening to Viral Podcasting. This is show number 31. Well, you know, you can't get enough guidance when you start down the podcasting road. There are so many pitfalls. There's so many ways for you to go wrong, even if you are totally committed and passionate about your new pursuit. So to help put you on the right path, we're really blessed to have Michael Harrison on with us now. You know him well. His site is talkers.com. It is the Bible of the radio talk show host scene. But more importantly, Michael is a major, you're a major proponent, Michael, of podcasting and the future of podcasting. And with that great buildup, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kerry. Being on 31 is especially exciting. That's a great number. Show number 31.
Yeah.
But, you know, podcasting is something that has been in my mind since before they even called it podcasting. When I first became aware of the internet and the idea that you could put audio on a website, which was very tricky business at the beginning of the internet. The internet was silent for most people. And then as the technology developed, some people came up with the idea where you could actually, if you went through certain hoops, put audio on your website. And that was considered to be a revelation. Wow, audio. It was almost like putting audio in movies. When movies were silent, people never even thought about making talkies. Matter of fact, they didn't think it would work. They thought it would be silly having voices coming from the screen that are not really coming out of the people's mouths. And audio on websites. And I spoke with a number of engineer types and geek types that were developing it. And the light bulb lit up in my head. Oh my gosh, if this thing ever becomes seamless and fluid, where you can actually put audio and maybe even video someday, where it doesn't take 8 hours to download, this is going to revolutionize everything, because you won't need to have a license to broadcast and go through all of that hoopla with the FCC and all the money and all of the legal stuff and all the obstacles to creating a program and getting it into the hands and the ears and the minds of people anywhere in the world. It was mind-boggling to me. Of course, the big obstacle was it wasn't very smooth and seamless. It was a way off. But I went and I bought a website. I called it stickless.com, stickless.com, and figuring that broadcasting without a stick, for those listening to this podcast, a stick in the industry is the term that radio people use for the old paradigm of having a transmitter with a tower. That's what a stick is, and a license, and a brick and mortar building, and all of that stuff. Stickless broadcasting. And I later changed it to Pod Jockey. And of course, the rest is history. But I've been a proponent of broadcasters getting into podcasting, or anybody who wants to be a broadcaster getting into podcasting, decades ago. And it's very gratifying to see it finally come to fruition, and it's still in its early days. Amazing.
Yeah. Hey, and you know, that was really insightful of you to see it that clearly, the future of it. I think the biggest problem with podcasting and acceptance is the name podcast, because, you know, Apple, it was based on the iPod. Apple no longer makes an iPod, and it really tells you nothing of what this thing is. When I've heard you speak before, you said it's basically, podcasting is, I guess, the equivalent of on-demand radio.
Yeah, I call pod, P-O-D, production on demand, or programming on demand. The fact of the matter is, I think in another 5 or 10 years, people are not going to be hung up on the word podcasting, because the idea of distributing media via the internet will not only be something people are used to, it'll probably be the main way that all information is distributed. So we may not even call it podcasting anymore. We just may say, I do a show. A show, and the show is available on the internet on demand. You can download it, you can store it, you can keep it, you can go to it, you can scrub it, you can start at the beginning, you can start at the end, you can stop in the middle, and it'll just be normal. The term, it won't matter. It's got to be terribly frustrating to you as a proponent and an expert on podcasting, as it is to me, when people say, well, how do I do it? And not just how do I make it? How do I listen to these things? I'm not a real computer person. And I would say to them, well, do you have a computer?
Yeah.
Do you have email? Do you know how to do email?
Yeah.
But I don't know about this pod. Yeah, the word pod scares the hell out of these people that are, you know, not on the edge of what's happening. So I do think the term stands in the way, but I don't think it's going to be an issue for in a few years. I think it's I don't think we're going to call it podcasting. We're just going to call it shows, files, programs, whatever. Because you know something, Carrie, we've been doing this for a long time before the internet. Any packaged media entity that you can buy or get for free and own is a podcast. A record, when we used to go to the record store and buy a 45 RPM song that we learned about on the radio because it was played on the radio and we had to wait for the DJ to play it. We'd wait sometimes for hours to hear our new favorite song. And then we'd hear it and go, oh, I got to have it. You'd run to the record store and pay 95 cents or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
And you'd own it. That was a podcast because it was on demand. Now I can listen to the song on demand. When the Ayatollah Khomeini was banished from Iran and went to Paris and lived in exile, he would sit and record on cassettes his missives and his theories and his propaganda, send them back to the underground in Iran, and then they would duplicate it and bicycle it around the country, and people were listening to his messages from exile in Paris on cassettes. Well,
yeah.
Isn't that an early form of podcasting? It's just simply being able to distribute a piece of production from one person to the other without necessarily having a middleman or having a store or a station. And that is as big a deal as the invention of the wheel or fire or refrigeration. It is just amazing.
Hey, and one thing, while we see the rise of podcasting occurring, almost at the same time, we're seeing the demise of traditional radio, the stick business model. And it's not necessarily that the rise of podcasting is driving the demise of radio so much maybe as the demise of radio is driving the rise of podcasting. I mean, where do you see this thing going here?
Well, I think that we're seeing the demise of all 20th century based media as the internet and the digital era becomes increasingly convenient, as it becomes increasingly seamless and easy to use. So I don't think that podcasting is causing the demise of radio. Radio is still a tremendously functional and popular means of mass media. One of the things that's really driving the demise of radio is mismanagement and poor ownership decisions and really, really faulty programming on the part of radio broadcasters. They're speeding up a process that really doesn't have to happen that quickly. But I think eventually, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, most of the media that those of us who grew up in the 20th century, understanding and still considering to be standard, like books, like newsprint, magazines, television networks, radio stations, radios, televisions, things, movie theaters, things of that nature, I think are going to become increasingly quaint and eventually just fall off the face of the earth and be something that we think of like hurricane lamps or, something like in a museum.
Like wax tablets.
Printing press.
Like wax tablets, yeah, from the Sumerians. hieroglyphs.
I don't see anything. I can't see that going backwards or changing.
Yeah, so
it's just a matter of generations changing.
And it's much easier to distribute your content, as they call it, your shows, over over the web than it is to have these huge broadcast towers on top of the Empire State Building or the World Trade Center. And you need technical people, you have a whole infrastructure, and it just becomes fabulously expensive. And now the advertisers have so many other choices other than just getting people at morning drive time or afternoon drive time. They can get them on their computer like 24/7 with no gap.
Yeah. So from a standpoint of efficiency, the timeline is moving in that direction, and it's moving there rapidly. However, the downside of that is it sure has killed the idea of gatekeepers and mass media and show business and Hollywood and the silver screen and being on the front page of the newspaper and being famous and being able to break into show business. And then if you get the job, just, you know, get along, do what they tell you to do and make a good living and stay there. That whole glorious, glitzy, dreamy notion that basically defined our view of getting into radio, breaking into TV, being a movie actor, being a nationally syndicated newspaper columnist. All of those things are out the window. And it's become far more utilitarian, far more commonplace, and far more difficult to get that kind of traction and that type of glory and that type of big money. So the upside is everybody can play in the game. The downside is everybody can play in the game. And it's been a very difficult transition period to make money. It's a very difficult transition period to get a really large audience for anything unless what you're doing is very special. And I guess that's where a guy like you with your book and your lectures and your whole viral podcasting theme comes in, to help people break through the clutter and the noise of what's becoming commonplace, and that's everybody being in show business.
Yeah, it's a, you know, they used to say about politics, it's show business for the ugly. And I think the internet is show business for the faceless, for the non-celebrity, and make such a great point.
And in many cases for the non-talented.
Yeah. Well, you know, and they will fall by the wayside. I've watched many of them come and go in my 7 short years in this business, but it is a business now. It's genuinely an industry. It's getting several billion dollars worth of ad revenues dumped in it annually now, and that number is only going to go up. How do you succeed? How do you stand out from the crowd and build an audience out there of people who you've never seen before and who know nothing about you until they start listening?
Well, it's first of all, you have the formula is, first of all, you have to serve a niche. You have to serve people who are passionate and very interested in something that you can provide. Now, if that happens to be the brilliance of your personality, well, then great, but that's usually not it. Usually you have to address a topic and provide solutions, answers, and information that people need. And so if you isolate a niche and it's an unserved niche, well, you're ahead of the game right there. Then you have to master the techniques of search engines, the techniques of supporting your product through social media and other digital avenues, networking with like-minded people, knowing how to manipulate the internet and all of its various avenues to get the word out about what you're doing. And as you do it, you have to keep it fresh and you have to keep it pertinent and you have to have it be as good, whatever that means, as possible. You can't just mail it in. There's no such thing as filler in the podcasting or the internet world. There's a lot of filler, but it isn't going to get you anywhere. Whereas in the old paradigm, you can get by just filling space between the commercials. You could get by because the platforms were so hard to get onto and had so many people that just listened to them from a compromise situation. Well, what else is there to watch? There's 3 channels, you know, you watch. I'm not crazy about that genre, but it's better than the other 2 channels. That doesn't exist anymore. So you got to have a niche. You got to serve a need. You got to hope that not too many other people are serving that need. You got to do it diligently. You got to do it your best way. And you got to learn the lingo and the techniques of how to promote it within the same universe of digital media. And with a little support maybe from analog media or the old media, but you got to know how to use the digital media. And if you cover all of those bases, you have a shot at having a real business as opposed to just, flapping your gums for 12 people that are your friends who are not listening anyway. They're just telling you they are.
Well, they're doing the download, so you get the analytics, but then they just delete it. So, hey, I downloaded your show. They don't say they listened to it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. You know, this is the economy at large. We're seeing the same thing. Broadcasters had a monopoly or an oligopoly. There were only a few of them around. So to get on one of them was extremely hard. Then you had, for instance, taxi cabs in New York City and other major cities. They had medallions. They had a monopoly on, or a group of them had an oligopoly. There were only so many medallions. They weren't giving out more. Hotels, you had to have this major piece of real estate in order to be in the hotel business. And then we get Airbnb, we get Uber, and we get podcasting. I'd say the former two had a much greater impact on, or having a much greater impact. The price of a medallion in New York City for a taxi cab is down 50% in several years. Airbnb, you've got hotel industry declaring war on them all over the world. Podcasting, there's never really been any opposition from the radio industry. They've kind of embraced it by putting host shows up or uploading them as podcasts, even though they're not properly formatted for the medium. Is the radio industry going to wise up? Is there going to be like this merger, almost seamlessness between podcasts and radio? Or does radio just fade away, W whatever call letters kind of just fades into obscurity and it's gone?
Well, radio will use podcasting as an extension of its brand. See, in the old days, radio stations never even realized that they were two businesses. They were a platform. They were the business of owning a radio station, the stick, the license, the medallion, if you will, and having that as an asset. And then inside the radio station, there's a production company that produced something specifically for that station that was the station's brand. We called it the format. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, the brand has to go multimedia in order to be able to compete with just all the noise in the world. So every radio station that is competitive, I mean, there are a lot of them that are just there and they already are dead. They're dead in the water. They have very few listeners. They're on the air. They sound like hell and nobody cares. But those stations that are still competitive and have listeners to their signal and their online stream, these radio stations have turned to podcasting and online streaming of their regular product. And I think at this point, some of them and maybe many of them have more listeners to their digital brand, to their digital product, than they do to the old-fashioned on-the-air, on-the-radio product. The ratings are murky about that. So I think that radio will be in the podcasting business to promote its product, but I don't see radio becoming podcasting. I see podcasting and internet broadcasting replacing the stick, which will become just an old form of distributing audio content, just like Kindle and ebooks are replacing the old paradigm of putting ink on paper. It's still literature, still books, it's still publishing, but let's face it, writing a book and having people download it on their Kindle or reading an online magazine as talkers now is online. It used to be in print. It's a very different process than going to a printer and packing up, you know, thousands of these entities and distributing them. So I think radio as we've known it, and I say this carefully because I'm a big proponent of radio and very involved in it remaining as successful for as long as it can. But I think that in the big anthropological picture of things, radio's on the way out, as are many of the other institutions that we immigrants from the 20th century living now in this new land called the 21st century are going to have to get used to.
Yeah. So you don't see there being like you were at the birth of WNEW FM in New York, and that was the leading rock station for decades. You don't see them transitioning, becoming a streaming radio station with DJs and just distributing it over the internet rather than over the stick?
I do see online radio being what we call radio. I mean, they already exist, but I don't think that the nature of it, the environment of it, the feel of it will be the same, because the internet is a different platform. And just like when they first started making TV shows and movies, what they would do is they would put actors on the soundstage and they'd film a play. were watching filmed versions of plays on that would
Very
be in
true.
Theaters. And then people realized, wait a second, there are other things we can do with this medium. It changes. Well, it's the same thing with digital online. It's different than stick going into a radio appliance. So what we did at WNEW-FM back in the early 70s and lasted for forever wouldn't work today in that form on the internet. One, because it's an old-fashioned style, and two, it's a style that doesn't lend itself to internet broadcasting, news on the top of the hour, commercial breaks. It doesn't. You don't need news on the top of the hour. You don't need. You're certainly not going to put up with commercial breaks. It's a whole different psychology, and I don't know where the programming of 1972 and the programming of 2022. I don't know where the two of one ends and one begins, but they're different. They're not the same. So yeah, there'll be radio on the internet, but it's not going to be like the old clunky radio stations that were so charming and so sweet and so influential on our childhoods and on our young adulthoods. I don't think you can do that anymore. I think it's of another time and another place.
Hey, well, one thing that really is great about podcasting is the return of serialized content, where you start with a story, a drama, whatever, and it lasts more than one episode. It might last 20 or 30. We've seen a return to that, and that really is a return back to the golden era of radio back in the 20s and 30s when you'd listen
Isn't that
to
interesting?
Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Great point. Hey, we're even seeing that not only with podcasting, but we're seeing that with television shows. I don't know if you're a Star Trek fan,
sure.
But CBS All Access just produced the first major network program for online distribution with Star Trek Discovery. And the first season just ended, and it was 15 episodes of Star Trek available only online. And every single episode was a serialized continuation. It was basically a 15-hour movie. If you did not come in the beginning, you're not going to know what the hell is going on. They were not individual, isolated episodes. And take a look at Netflix, what they did with The Crown. They made two seasons, and they opened it up with the entire 10 episodes each season already there for binge watching, so that and they all connected together. We're seeing that in everything now, a return to serialized programming and storytelling. And it works very well in the digital space. The old paradigm doesn't work anymore. And it doesn't for many reasons. And yeah, even though it's a return to what they did in the 40s and the 30s with radio, it's also different. It's very hard to compare the apples of one century with the oranges of another. There are certain universals in human art and in the human condition that will always be the case. But our dependency and connection sociologically to technology is profound. And we're going through a period now, Carrie, where the entire nervous system of the human species is undergoing an overhaul. And I think we're becoming different on a level that we've not seen in modern history or even recent history. We're becoming almost like a new species where our consciousness, our collective consciousness, and the way we communicate with each other is changing on a level that is profound.
Right. Well, when we look back in history, everybody in the good old days, when our parents were alive, all the neighborhood, everybody knew everybody. Everybody knew what everybody was doing. There was a connectedness. Then we kind of went into the 60s, 70s, and later, and we got alienation in our neighborhoods. Like, I don't even know who the heck my next door neighbor is. Probably don't want to. And now we're getting to a thing where the connectedness taking place online. And I think the new media that we're seeing, whether it's video on demand, audio on demand, or all the various tools, kind of are evolving along those lines, increasing your ability to connect with your fellow human being, because I think it's fundamental and elemental to individual happiness that you've got to have those connections, or you really feel pretty lonely in this world.
Yeah, and we still don't know our neighbor. We just know somebody who has a mutual interest in gardening who lives 1,000 miles away.
Very true.
And we're not sure whether their name is really their name.
Yeah, who knows?
Or if there's somebody we really would want to sit over a cup of coffee with.
Very true.
There's similarities and there are differences. Very interesting indeed. I do not claim to have all the answers. I even recoil a little bit when called an expert. I'm an expert on the question. I know what questions we're facing, but I am humble enough to acknowledge that I do not know all the answers, because we are changing so rapidly and where we're going is in many ways mysterious. So it's just knowing that we're on this incredible acceleration in terms of the ride we're on. But I do think we all have to remain a bit humble and not fool ourselves into thinking that this is a clear path and that we know where we're going.
Very true. Hey, and just finishing it off, if someone were to come to you today and said, I want to start a podcast, I want to be successful at it, what are the three things I need to do besides finding that underserved niche? What would those three things be?
You better really, really be good at it. You really, really better have a passion for it, and you better be prepared to work hard. And don't necessarily make money your goal. It may take a few years to develop the thing. If you want the reward before you're willing to put in the work, if you want to sing the blues, you got to pay your dues. That's about it. I think the most important thing is have a target, have a niche, and serve it and hope that you're there first. And then make sure you do it so well that those that come into to take over the territory that you've created, have a heck of a time catching up with you.
Great point. Branding. Hey, so obviously we find you on talkers.com. You've got a podcast of your own. Where do we find that?
The podcast is called The Michael Harrison Interview, and it's at podcast1.com. Just type in Michael Harrison Interview, or just go to talkers.com. It's on the homepage and every page. You can hear it there. The Michael Harrison Interview, podcast1.com or talkers.com.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, Michael. Hey, if you got a question, you want to participate in the show, just send an email to kl@carrylutz.com. We answer all. And hey, Michael, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. And hey, happy podcasting.
Thank you so much, Kerry. Keep up the good work.
This has been another episode of Viral Podcasting. Be sure to visit us at viralpodcasting.com.